The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ne kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
Hello, my name is Reed Nielsen, and I'm an assistant professor of church history and doctrine at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, where I teach on the global church. Today I'm interviewing President Mike Hemingway of the Rochester, New York Mission. President Hemingway, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's exciting to talk to someone that's there in the cradle of the Restoration and to hear about how the Lord's work is going forth in that part of the vineyard.
Well, it's a great place to serve as a missionary.
How long have you been president there?
2 years in July.
Did you anticipate a call stateside there, Rochester, any tie to that area before you were called as a president?
No, we knew that we were going to be called to an English-speaking mission. When we were called, we were called to New York Rochester Mission, and we were thrilled because it is the cradle of the Restoration.
And did you have any interest in church history, particularly before the mission? What have you learned about church history being out there?
Oh, I love church history. I've loved it for years. I've loved teaching the Doctrine and Covenants when I was a gospel doctrine teacher. So for me, this was a real treat. It was just a great experience to be here. I had been here once when I was very young, so it was a thrill to come back and be able to go back to the early sites where the church history really started.
And it seems that in recent years, the church really has put a lot of resources, both manpower and financial, into really dressing up the early sites of the Restoration, restoring buildings, creating new visitor centers. What's going on there right now? What are some of the sites that your missionary staff, and how are they received?
Well, we have within our mission the Hill Cumorah. Of course, there's a visitor center at the Hill Cumorah, and we have the pageant, which is coming up this year in July on the 10th and 11th, and then on the 14th through the 18th. And so we have probably somewhere between 40 and 60,000 people come to the Hill Cumorah. It's really fun to go to the pageant because the non-members come to hear the message. I walk around and visit with the missionaries and meet their investigators and meet people from the community who have just come to the pageant, which is really quite a spectacle. So they come to hear our message. It's a lot easier than going out and knocking on their doors. But we also have the Joseph Smith Farm. The church has recreated the log home that the Smith family lived in when Joseph was 14 when he walked into the grove. They also have the frame home, and that's the home that was started by Alvin Smith, and that's 85% original. So we have those in Palmyra, as well as the Grandin Building, which is where the Book of Mormon was published. And then we also have in our mission the Peter Whitmer Farm, which is down in Fayette, and there we have the log home that's been recreated there, where the church was organized on April 6, 1830. So we have missionaries, senior couples, and young sisters that work at all of those sites.
A few months ago, I was actually back in Palmyra on a church history tour with some members of other faiths, actually, and we were explaining to them about the early events of the Restoration, and they marveled at the care the church has put into recovering and really telling the story of its history. How helpful is it for you in your missionary work? How do missionaries actually staff the different sites, and what role do you play in those type of decisions?
Well, we have in our mission 14 couples that are called specifically as site missionaries. We also have some proselyting couples that help out at pageant time. And then all of our sisters are called with site training, where they receive some specific training at the MTC, and then they work at the sites part of the day, and then they work in their proselyting areas. We also have it set up so that at any given time we have three or four areas where our sisters can go out what we call full proselyting, but they spend their full time proselyting within some of the communities. And so all the sisters get an opportunity to work at the sites. They also have an opportunity to work in a full proselyting capacity. We have a site director, Elder Brian Weston and Sister Weston, and they do a fabulous job taking care of the day-to-day operations. And I just get to be the mission president over all the missionaries.
It sounds like an exciting place to be with so much going on. Oftentimes you don't find those type of variety of experiences, and missionary opportunities within one mission. Stepping back just a little bit, why do you think the church places such an emphasis on its history?
Oh, I think one of the great themes of the Book of Mormon is to remember. If you recall, it's a theme that comes up over and over. In fact, it's in the promise right at the end of the Book of Mormon, where Moroni writes to remember the blessings that the Lord has poured out on his people. And I think there's a great value in the church in remembering what took place here. This is the place where President Hinckley said where the Father and the Son came. We know that's true in the Sacred Grove. This is the place the plates were buried and Joseph took them and translated them. This is the place where the church was organized. I think there's a great history and a great heritage and also a great spirit. It's a very sacred place to be. When I was set apart as mission president, Elder Ballard said, you'll walk where prophets have walked and teach where prophets have taught. And that's literally true, and it's true for our missionaries.
Having been back there recently, obviously there's the Palmyra Temple, which was constructed and dedicated years ago. Do your missionaries receive the blessings of the temple while they're there? Do they have any chance to go to the temple and overlook the sacred grove through the celestial room or anything like that?
Oh, yes. If they're working close to the temple, we allow them to go once a transfer if it happens, if they can work it out on their preparation day. If they have a family that they baptized going to the temple to be sealed, we allow them to go with that family so they get an opportunity, and then we take all the missionaries right before they go home. We try to get them in for a temple session, and we occasionally will arrange for the zones to come in and go to the temple. So the missionaries all get to go to the temple probably two or three times a year while they're out here serving.
Well, I served my mission in Asia and came to love the Book of Mormon, of course, as a missionary. Used it regularly in my proselyting. But it's one thing to serve outside and come to love the Book of Mormon. I can only imagine, you say, there's such a special spirit there that these missionaries must come away from your mission with a unique spirit about the work and about the books, the Book of Mormon and the other scriptures that came forth during the Joseph Smith period that you might not find other places, given just the historic importance of the Rochester area.
I'll tell you, it's fun to stand up in a zone conference and say, turn to section such and such in the Doctrine and Covenants and say, oh, by the way, this was given in our mission.
Right.
And, you know, I think there's 24 sections that were given in our mission that were here. There's a section 106, I believe it is the call for Warren Cowdery to be the branch president of the Freedom Branch. That happens to be in our mission. Section 100 was given to the Prophet Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon when they were over in a place called Perrysburg, which is in our mission. And so there are a lot of sections that are here, and many of the early missionary sections were given in this mission. And so when I opened them up, in fact, I was teaching at a ward yesterday, and I said, turn to section 31. And so we turned to section 31, instructions to Thomas B. Marshall. That was given in our mission. Turned to section 33. Great instructions that Elder Perry quoted in conference about opening your mouth, and that was given in our mission. And so I tell the missionaries, here's the early Preach My Gospel, and it was given in our mission, so you better read it and study it and know what the Lord expects you to do.
Well, I hope they catch the vision and appreciate the history while they're there. I know that a lot of missionaries, you know, get off their missions and say, oh, I wish I would have appreciated this more, that more, and got to know the people better, or language, what have you. But for your missionaries particularly, this love of the historic sites of the church, I really hope that that's something that's burned into their souls while they're there.
Well, one of the things that we've tried to do, our mission is not very large area-wise. I can get just about anywhere in the mission in 2 hours, which is really wonderful in terms of being able to get out and be with the missionaries. It also is wonderful because it allows us a couple of times a year to let the missionaries come into a zone conference. Now, on April 6th, 7th, and 8th this year, we had 3 zone conferences held at the Peter Whitmer Farm. And so on April 6th, on the anniversary of the organization of the church, we had zone conference at the Peter Whitmer Farm and let the missionaries go out and see the log home and ponder the events that took place there. Last October, we had a zone conference at the Hill Cumorah, in September, to correspond with the dates that Joseph received the plates. So it's really been a marvelous thing to be able to have the missionaries come and let that be an experience that they can talk about and they can build their testimonies with, as they, because they don't all serve at the sites, but we want them to come and visit the sites.
That's remarkable. In fact, something I was curious about as you began today, you mentioned how many different sites there are. I imagine that's an incredible blessing in your mission, that people are coming to you to learn about the church. They know something about the church that brings them to these sites. At the same time, I wonder, are there some challenges with that, just that many people are visitors from outside the Rochester area? How do you get these people interested, help them feel the Spirit, and then send referrals or what have you on to other missions or other parts of the world? What's that process like?
Well, we have many, many visitors from outside of the mission. In fact, the vast majority of those that come to the sites are from outside of the mission. And a large percentage of them are members of the church. We talk to them and ask them, as they're visiting the sites, to listen for promptings of the Spirit of people who may need to hear the message of the restoration, and ask them for referrals. And yes, we do provide many referrals to other missions from people who come and visit our visitor center. And all of our sisters are trained to invite people to give referrals, and then also they call them. And we send referrals all over the world. We have a sister here who's from Brazil, who speaks Portuguese, and she had some people come from Brazil, and she ended up getting names of a number of families that they were able to call in Brazil and talk to them in Portuguese, or she was, and invite them to have the missionaries come, which they did. So she was excited that she was helping the gospel grow there. So there's lots of referrals that come and lots of opportunities for the sisters then to get those into other missions. The other thing that we do is, because of the size of our mission not being very big, we encourage the missionaries to bring their investigators and teach them at the sites. You know, almost any weekend, if I were to go out to the Hill Cumorah or go out to the Sacred Grove, I would run into a companionship of missionaries who were there with an investigator teaching them right at the sites. And it's an amazing thing when you have a progressing investigator and can take them to the Sacred Grove and let them walk out and pray about the reality of the vision. Have them go to the Hill Cumorah and pray about the reality of the Book of Mormon. It's a really powerful tool.
It doesn't get any better than that for missionary work, I'd imagine.
Well, we have the sites. We need to use them. That is a marvelous thing.
Now, what about the Hill Cumorah pageant? I know this is the largest outdoor pageant in America. How is your mission involved in that? And tell us a little bit more. Obviously, many Latter-day Saints have not had the opportunity to go, so could you describe the pageant? When does it start? Are the missionaries involved in ushers? Are they participants in the pageant itself? Just tell us more about that.
Well, the pageant originally started with the mission years ago. Now there's a pageant committee which runs the pageant very efficiently. We're marvelous brethren that we work with here, brethren and sisters. It's a great production. It's a great project, and they're very efficient and have been doing it for years. And so they bring in the cast. There's a cast of about 700 members that come to be in the pageant. And
where do these cast members come from?
All over the country, some cases all over the world. Local members are in it. Many families are in it, and they come and do the cast. Now, the missionaries, we're here to proselyte. We're here to help people find the restored gospel and help them gain testimonies and be baptized and endure to the end. That's what we're trying to do. So we want the missionaries to see the pageant, but their ability to come is based on having an investigator and coming with a member. And so we send them out and say, go find some investigators. And we've had some really interesting experiences with that. I had a companionship, not last year, but the year before, and we told them you had to have an investigator, and it got down to about Thursday night or something, and they hadn't found an investigator. And they were debating whether they ought to try and sneak in or not, or just be obedient and find an investigator. So they went to all the members of the ward and said, who do you know? We've got to go see the pageant. We're going to miss the pageant. You've got to find somebody. And one of the members said, well, I've got a friend I work with. I'll ask her if she wants to go. And so he asked her if she wanted to go, and she said, sure, why not? So they ended up taking this individual to the pageant, and she ended up being baptized with two of her children.
Wow.
I've never thought about going to church, never had any idea what the Mormons were, but she was invited by a friend to go so that the missionaries could go, and they were able to go. Last year I had a couple of missionaries who speak Spanish, and they thought I would bring them in to work, because we do have a few missionaries come and work at the pageant with the cast members and some things like that. And they called me on Thursday night and said, aren't you bringing us? I said, no. And they said, well, we don't have any investigators. I said, then you can't come. Go find an investigator. So they called me back. They said, what are we supposed to do? I said, I think I'd call everybody in the ward that spoke Spanish and say, who do you know that you can invite to go to pageant so we have an investigator to go to pageant with? They called me back several hours later and said, President, we found a whole family. We'll be there with the family. I said, great. So it's a great tool for us. It's a great incentive for the missionaries to find new investigators, and it's a great tool for bringing people to hear the message of the Book of Mormon, see the message of the Book of Mormon portrayed on the hillside.
Well, in the pageant itself, I went as a child years ago. Tell our listeners about what the pageant is. I know it's the story of the Book of Mormon, but a little more detail, what part does it pick up, and sort of what is the narrative that follows through the story? I know the climax is Jesus Christ visiting the Americas, of course, but how is that staged on the Hill Cumorah itself?
There are a number of scenes. It starts with a big processional. Then it goes to the story of Lehi and covers Lehi leaving Jerusalem and bringing his family to the New World. Then it covers a series of events that take place in the New World. Some of the things that it covers are Alma and Abinadi and King Noah, and portrays Alma baptizing the waters of Mormon. It shows some of the battle scenes as the Lamanites and Nephites have their great battles. Nephi, as it leads up to the coming of the Savior. Then it has the Savior coming and appearing and teaching the people, and the destruction of the Nephites, which ultimately comes. And then it covers the Moroni burying the plates and the last great destruction, and then Joseph receiving the plates from Moroni being translated into the Book of Mormon. So it's a very quick overview of the events of the Book of Mormon, and done in scenes. It has a wonderful soundtrack. It's done with lights and water curtains and fire and all kinds of effects, and so it's quite the production. Starts at dusk. It's open. There's a bowl that'll seat about 10,000 people, and anybody's welcome to come.
Well, President Hemingway, I can only imagine what this does from a community affairs perspective, just bringing people, letting them know about the Mormons, etc. In fact, as I think about your mission, the gospel's been in your mission longer than it's been any other place in this last dispensation. How is the church perceived in that area, the cradle of the Restoration? Do many people know what the Mormons believe, know who they are? Is it positive? Is it something that continually needs to be rehabilitated? Tell us about that.
Well, I think that, you know, people have heard bits and pieces. I'm actually consistently amazed at the number of people who have no idea that our church was restored and organized right here in Western New York.
Even though they live there?
Even though they live here. Very typical to say to somebody, have you ever heard of the Hill Cumorah? No. Have you ever heard of the Book of Mormon? Quite often, no, I've never heard of the Book of Mormon. And those that have heard of it, you'll ask them, do you know where it came from? I have no idea. It didn't come from Utah. Amazed at how little they actually know about us. In fact, I think the adversaries worked overtime that they don't. In fact, we talked to a woman the other night. I invited her to come to pageant and invited her to get a copy of the Book of Mormon. And she was raised about 15, 20 miles from Palmyra and had never heard of it, had never heard of the pageant. I'll tell you a fun experience I had one night. I went in to get my hair cut, and the girl who was cutting my hair said, are you working? And I said, I think I work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And she said, what do you do? And I told her I was the mission president over the missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And she said, oh. And that was the end of it. And so I sat there for a minute and thought, I've got to get her into a conversation. So I asked her, where did you go to beauty school? And we started talking. She told me she was raised in Rochester. And then I said, well, then you must have heard of the Hill Cumorah pageant. She said, no, what's that? And I said, there's a pageant that takes place here in Palmyra, the largest outdoor pageant in the country. It's people come from all over the world to see it. You've never heard of it? She says, no, I've never heard of it. And I said, do you know why we'd have a pageant here? She said, no. I said, have you ever heard of the Book of Mormon? She said, no. And so I explained what the Book of Mormon was. And in the course of the conversation, explained to her how the church was organized. When she finished cutting my hair, she said, I don't know why they don't teach us these things. It's so fascinating. I've learned so much from you. Thank you. And can I go see the sides? Yes, of course you can see the sides.
So, but and she gave you a good haircut as well, right?
I assume I don't know, but it was, you know, it was. It's just interesting that so many know so little about us.
Well, it's such a struggle all over the world to bring the gospel forth out of obscurity, but it does surprise me that even there, the cradle of the restoration, where the historic sites are, the Hill Cumorah, as you're saying, it's still a battle that we're fighting, isn't it?
It is a continual process to help people know about the restoration of the gospel and help them. But we do have the advantage that we can invite them to come and see the site.
What are the favorite sites back there? What really resonates? First of all, what resonates with your missionaries as they visit? But then I'm curious, is it different for non-members that come? What resonates with them at the historic sites?
Well, I think for the missionaries, they love the sacred grove. If you're teaching an investigator and you want to teach about the prophet Joseph Smith and the first vision, you want to take them to the sacred grove. And it is a wonderful place. I love to go to the grove whenever I get a chance for Sister Hemingway and I to take a few minutes and walk in the sacred grove. We go there. We take our missionaries there right off the airplane as soon as they arrive and allow them to go to the sacred grove. And I've been there every month of the year. When it's bitter cold, when it's hot and humid, when it's raining, when it's snowing, and every time I've been there, it's been beautiful. So with missionaries, they love the Sacred Grove, and they love the Hill Cumorah because we teach about the Book of Mormon. The non-members that come, many come out of curiosity. We have a big visitor center on Highway 21, which is one of the major highways running north and south in the state, and people will stop in just out of curiosity. We will have a lot who will come for the pageant. At the Hill Cumorah Visitor Center, we had one of the exhibits on the Dead Sea Scrolls last year. The non-members, it's a variety of things. With those who aren't members, sometimes their member friends will bring them. Sometimes the missionaries will invite them to come. Sometimes it's out of curiosity.
I see. The missionaries themselves, those that aren't serving on site, how many stakes are in your mission, and how do you sort of assign different missionaries to different areas? About how many elders or sisters are in the different wards and branches there?
We have three stakes, the Palmyra stake, the Rochester stake, and the Buffalo stake. In those stakes, we have about 26 units. We have wards, which are as big and as active and have just as big as programs as any that you'd find on the Wasatch Front. We also have little branches that are 20, 30 members that regularly attend. So there's a wide variety of church organization and church activity depending on where you're assigned. The elders work throughout the mission. We try to give them opportunities to serve in Palmyra stake, which majority of it is rural. It's small country towns, rolling hills, beautiful forests, cornfields, things like that. You could serve in Rochester or Buffalo. Buffalo's the second largest city in New York, and you could be downtown with skyscrapers and all of the traffic and noise of a large city. You can serve out in, you know, Rochester would be the same thing. It's a good-sized city, just over a million people. And so there's a variety of places that you serve. You could be in a ward. The Buffalo ward covers the middle of Buffalo. I think there are probably 400,000 or 500,000 people that live within the boundaries of the Buffalo ward. And we have several companionships working there, a Spanish companionship, and also those speaking English. A senior couple typically works there. Or you could be sent down to a little branch and be the only missionaries in the branch and show up on Sunday and have to help the branch by taking care of the sacrament and ushering at the door and welcoming people and maybe even playing the piano or leading the music. So it truly is the mission field wherever you go. It truly is the opportunity to serve and use your talents.
It sounds like you have a full spectrum within the boundaries of your stake, the boundaries of your three stakes and your mission. You mentioned some of your missionaries speak Spanish. Are there any other languages that your missionaries proselyte with?
Well, we have Spanish-speaking missionaries. We have a Spanish group in Rochester that's doing very well. We have the Buffalo Ward also has some Spanish in it, but we also have a large population of deaf people in Rochester. RIT, the Rochester Institute of Technology, is one of the major universities that has a deaf program associated with it. So we have missionaries that use American Sign Language, and we have a deaf group that meets with one of our wards on Sunday, and the missionaries there work in ASL. So there's a great opportunity for those missionaries to teach in that language.
How many of your missionaries can actually use American Sign Language?
Interestingly enough, right now we have 5 who are assigned in ASL, and it's amazing because I inevitably find 2 or 3 more that have taken it in school or have a family member or something, and so occasionally they are efficient enough in it that we can have them also work in that ward and help out with the missionaries there. In fact, at one point we had just 1 sister assigned in ASL, and it was amazing how many other sisters I found that knew ASL that could be a companion to her, and they could work in the English language program as well as the ASL program.
Fascinating. Well, as we wrap up today, President Hemingway, I wondered if you could share perhaps 1 story of a recent conversion in your mission that has been meaningful to you from some of your missionaries.
Well, I think there's a number. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a whole family go through the Palmyra Temple and be sealed. I think that's what all missionaries hope for, is to see their investigators join the church and make covenants and keep those covenants. Just Sunday, my wife received a phone call from some friends of ours in our ward here, and they are converts to the church since we've been out here, and they're preparing to go to the temple and wanted to invite us to come and be there when they were sealed. We have had wonderful experiences out here with our missionaries and the people that they teach. It's fun to read missionary letters because they talk about the miracles and the people that they find and help. They come in contact with people and then watch them progress and watch them prepare their lives and repent and then have a desire to be baptized. I was in a ward yesterday and was greeted by a woman who joined the church not too long ago, is now married to a member of the church, and they're progressing and doing very well. There was another one of our converts there that I knew, and she was there as I taught and had her scriptures and was participating. And so I'd like to tell you 1 story, but there's many of them.
Right.
It's great. It's just a wonderful place to serve. And the people that we find that are anxious to learn, they continue to progress and make covenants. And that's what it's all about.
And if I recall correctly, you have another year of service there as president with Sister Hemingway. Is that right?
We do, yes.
So another year of making these special memories and watching people change their lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's a wonderful thing.
Well, President Hemingway, I sure appreciate your time today. It's been fascinating to learn about what's going on in the Cradle of the Restoration today in 2009, to learn about the unique opportunities that you have there with the historic sites and how the missionaries and members have responded accordingly. As we conclude, would you mind sharing your testimony with our listeners?
Sure. This is a wonderful place to serve as a missionary. And I tell our missionaries that it's a very rare and sacred privilege to be called to serve in the Cradle of the Restoration. I've had a testimony and know that the church is true for years and years, but being here has increased that testimony. I see the Lord's hand in the growth of the church. I see miracles in the lives of missionaries and investigators. I know that the promptings of the Holy Ghost are real. I know that God and Jesus Christ appeared in the sacred grove. I know they appeared to the prophet Joseph. I know that Moroni appeared and showed him where the plates were, and that the Book of Mormon is indeed the Word of God, translated by the gift and power of God. There is amazing power in the Book of Mormon. We encourage our missionaries to read it every day, a little bit, so that they have power from the Book of Mormon. I know that the priesthood is on the earth and the church has been restored. And the President Monson is indeed a living prophet. I'm grateful for that knowledge. And I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that he came to this earth and made it possible for each of us to return back to our Heavenly Father if we are willing to keep our covenants and keep the commandments. I'm grateful the Lord has entrusted Sister Hemingway and I with the privilege of sharing that here in New York. And I leave that testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, thank you, President Hemingway. I hope that the Lord's choicest blessings are upon you and his missionaries as you continue to serve. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Into All the World.